This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We're also on Twitter at It's Nation Radio, and you can email us at nationradio@team1260.com. Connor, what was that last commercial for? The Father's Day one.
It's a Sirius satellite radio.
That is a killer. When I first heard you, when you met him, you pooped on him. I'm like, okay, where's this going? You know, that was very good.
I had to look over to see what it was. Like, what's going on here?
Well, good for them. Good job. Good job. Yes, we're on Twitter now at It's Nation Radio, and you can email us at nationradio@team1260.com. I want to pass this along. It moved from CTV about just a few minutes ago, actually. Any doubt there wasn't interest in the NHL team in Winnipeg can be put to bed after their season ticket drive sold out 17 minutes after it got underway. The North Sports and Entertainment announced on Saturday that they'd reached their goal of selling 13,000 season tickets for Winnipeg's new NHL franchise. They did it in 17 minutes. Wow. And I think there was like 3 or 5 year renewals on that. Like, you had to you know, pony up for that much. That's incredible. You know, Winnipeg, I doubt that team ever moves. You know, the conversation that I've had with a lot of the Jets fans is that they've morphed over into Oilers fans or Flames fans or whatever, and they'll probably stay attached to that group, but they definitely missed Winnipeg, and I honestly don't see how they can possibly call that team anything but the Jets. But we wait, and we look forward to it. Oh, it's a great pleasure for me to talk to and introduce to you Blue Bullet Brad, who's been around for how long have you been doing your draft items?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably been almost a decade now, I'd say.
When I first started reading your stuff on HF, you know, it was like, you know, there's that's what HF was at the time, and I think still is, in terms of people doing mock drafts. And you always seem to have a little bit extra insight, a little bit of information that others didn't get. And you're looking back years later at your drafts. You do a really good job of slotting it. How do you go about the process of putting together your list?
My list starts off probably in the fall. I start looking at the players that I want to key in on for the year, start doing following their stats and their production through the year. And about the midterm part of the season is when I do my first set of rankings after Central Scouting and Bob McKenzie come out with their list. And from there, it's just listening to scouting reports and just trying to gather as much information on the players and trying to slot them in based on potential and risk and reward on each player.
For those who aren't familiar with your list, a year ago you had Taylor Hall at number one, choosing him, as you said, the more dynamic player. And then you had Pitlick at 31 as well, so you nailed that one for the Oilers as well. Did they both deliver on the expectations you had for each player?
Taylor Hall, I'd say he turned out better than expected. I really think he's going to be quite the superstar in the league and think the world of him. But Pitlick, yeah, I'd say he's about online with what I expect. Maybe expected a little more after his showing at training camp, but I expect a lot from Pitlick as a solid third line two-way center or a winger, depending on where he ends up in the future.
That brings up my next question with regard to both have played center and both played wing this year. Do you think there's any merit in, if the Oilers do draft Adam Larson, for instance, in moving Hall to center beginning in the fall and having him learn at that level? And with regard to Pitlick, it sounds, I mean, in Medicine Hat he played as a winger. It sounds like he may start at wing and pro. Do you see is there any merit in moving him to center right away as well?
With Pitlick, I wouldn't mind seeing him at center. He's a big guy, strong, plays that. So somebody of his size and would be good down the middle for Hall. I like him on the wing. I like his abrasiveness. It allows him to be a little more reckless, which plays with his game. So I'd rather see him on wing. But if they took Larson, then we don't really have a number one center, and I don't know if we'd be getting one anytime soon if we don't select Nugent Hopkins.
So that brings me to the next question, is who do you have slotted for number one in this year's draft?
Nugent Hopkins took the number one from Adam Larson a couple months ago in my mind, and it hasn't changed since. His dynamic ability, I just think he has the best potential to be the star player out of this year's draft.
I think one of the reasons why, and I agree with you, I think one of the reasons why we're having hard time, you know, quantifying it or measuring it is that he does seem to have be one of those players who has cerebral skills in passing ability. And I, you know, comparing him to Gretzky is ridiculous because why would you do that to someone?
Yeah.
But he does seem to have that ability to find people or pass the puck to where, you know, it should be or should be going to. Is there a way to quantify? I mean, we can verbalize it, but what do you look for in a player who's that cerebral type to show you that you know, he has the potential to obviously become a number one quality center on a good hockey team?
It can be difficult with cerebral players like that. With that kind of thing, I find you can't go off the stats as much, and you have to listen more to the scouting reports. Matt Duchene was a good example of that. His production wasn't as high as you expect from a number one center of his ability, but if you listen to the scouting reports and picked up on what the scouts and the hype on him was, you could read into what kind of player he is. And with Nugent Hopkins, he's the only player that other scouts or other people like Ken Hitchcock is comparing him to Datsyuk, people compared to Sakic or Brad Richards. So he's the only player I know in this draft that everybody else is comparing him to another star player already in the NHL.
One of the things that I have a hard time marrying, you know, when we talk about a one-dimensional type, and that's what is being implied by Nugent Hopkins' power play points, you know, towering over his even strength points, I think of guys like, you know, Adam Oates or Craig Janney. I have a hard time marrying that type player type to what Nugent Hopkins brings. He's very likely to be a more complete player than that, correct?
I believe so. I think he could be a very good two-way player in this league. He's very smart. Like Hitchcock mentioned, comparing him to Datsyuk, where Datsyuk is one of the best two-way players in the league, and I don't know if Nugent Hopkins will ever be that good, but he does definitely has the ability to be a good two-way player in the league. And the thing with the Rebels, you got to realize, is they kind of left him out to hang out to dry on even strength. They never gave him the best line mates. On the power play is where they stack the lines, and you got to play with Ferraro and some of the other top Rebel players, so you got to consider that as well.
Yeah, Jason Greger did an article on ON this week about that, about the fact that the Rebels had so many power play minutes, and obviously that would impact the number of minutes that Nugent Hopkins was out at even strength as well. So now you have Nugent Hopkins 1, Larson 2, is that correct?
Yeah, at this moment, though, I am considering Huberto at 2 as well.
Okay, so Huberto is number 3 and rising sort of thing?
Yes, yes. Haven't made up my mind there yet. Huberto, I really like his tenacity he plays the game with. I remember Kevin Prendergast has mentioned Ryan Smith reminds him of. But the difference is Huberto has a much higher skill level in terms of hands than Ryan Smith ever has.
Yeah.
So, Huberto is one of those guys I think could be a star player out of this draft, for sure.
And after that top three, by the way, Bob McKenzie agrees with you. He feels that's the top three. Who do you have 4 and 5?
4 and 5 is Couturier and Landeskog are my 4 and 5.
And I agree with you on Couturier. I mean, I have a hard time moving him off of number 1, which I did. And I do know that from the scouting reports that we get, he's not as dynamic as Huberto, and I think that's going to cost him at the top of the draft. But give me your reasons why you like him so much.
Very good two-way player, lots of size, just smart hockey player, knows where to be on the ice. Very good down low with that size. I think the skating of his can be improved upon, and I think he'll be a much stronger force once that skating gets worked on. And from the sounds of it, just a few technical issues with the way he skates.
And then you've got Landeskog at number 5, who I think is a wild card in that he doesn't have the offensive potential of the kids you've already mentioned, at least the forwards, but he really is a guy who is almost the NFL draft they call, you know, a plug-and-play type. He can walk in and probably, if not help you, play at the NHL level in the fall.
Yeah, he definitely looks like somebody that can jump into the league next year. As you can see at the combines yesterday, he's a man among boys, as they said. I think he could be a very good winger at a complimentary winger at the, maybe even a first liner. I see him more as a goal scorer, and put him at the right center, I could expect a lot from him at the NHL level.
Okay, we've got your top five: Nugent Hopkins, Larson, Huberdeau, Couturier, and Landeskog. There are three from the Universal top eight left over: Hamilton and Murphy, and obviously the center Strome. Are those your next three? And if they are, in what order do you have them?
Actually, that is the order I have them in: is Hamilton, Murphy, and then Strome. Strome was probably six heading into the playoffs, but he kind of had a weak playoffs. Hamilton actually, his teammate outscored him, and Hamilton's a defenseman, and Strome is their center. Strome, it's a concern with his strength. When the going got tough, his game wasn't as good. As for the defensemen, I got Hamilton above Murphy. I just think Hamilton's the safer pick, the better two-way defenseman. He's 6'4". He's got the size. So that's why I have him spotted ahead of Ryan Murphy.
Is it Strome or Strom? I don't know.
I don't know exactly. I think maybe Strome.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just keep calling him that until somebody corrects me.
Yeah.
And 9-10, how do you roll out your top 10?
9-10, Mika Zibanejad at 9 and Duncan Siemens at 10.
Okay, and you, the surprise, there's no surprise there for me, but I want your answer as to why Zibanejad has come up so quickly lately, if that makes any sense. Why did he progress so quickly even after the end of the season?
Sometimes I find the Swedish players, some of the guys don't get scouted as much, so it isn't until the later tournaments in the year that some of the North American scouts get to see these guys, and that's why you kind of see them as late risers. I know Craig Button really likes him. I've been comparing him to Bobby Holik as a really good, strong two-way center, and he's been said to play a very Canadian game. Hockey for a Swede.
ISS likes him a lot too. They compare him to Jerome McGinley. And then at number 10, a guy that I think the Oilers will be following very closely, Duncan Siemens. He's a mean kind of character, and obviously he plays at a high level when playing for Saskatoon. What do you like about him?
What I like about him is just the rough and tumble nature of his game. I think he said before that he plays for keeps. They've described him as a Shea Weber-type defenseman without Shea Weber's shot, of course. But I think he's actually a little nastier than Weber as a defenseman. He's kind of got a little bit of Scott Stevens in him, mm-hmm. for sure.
Do you think that teams sometimes, you know, they missed out on Shea Weber, and I mean, around that time they had selected Alex Plunt. Do you think a team like the Oilers maybe remembers that and tries to go back and draft a similar player in later years because he's the one that got away?
Definitely, I think so. I do that myself in my own rankings, as I kind of look back and see which players I maybe messed up on, didn't have rated as high, and why didn't I, and maybe look for similar qualities in that type of player the next season.
You know what? We reserve the right to ask you back in a couple of weeks, if you don't mind, just to go over the list, see if there's any changes, and maybe dig a little deeper. But thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Blue Bullet. He's available on HF, and I don't know that he's going to... We'll ask him next time if he's going to publish this year's list anywhere. He usually does it on HF, and I usually borrow it to put it on Low Tide, just because I mean, the guy knows his stuff. And not only that, as he said, you know, sometimes he misses, but you know what? It's not that often. These fellows who are, I guess you'd call them draft observers, and they make it their business to follow it very closely. Often their lists are very strong, and I sometimes wonder, with Blue Bullet and Speeds, who we had on last week, whether an NHL team would be wise just to, you know, to monitor these guys and their final lists, because it might just confirm what you're already looking at. But there's a lot of thought and effort goes into it, and even though they don't see all of these players, they are following it via math and logic and all of those good things. And often the lists, if you look back over many years, like Blue Bullet's 2007 draft, it's on my blog if you want to look at it. He really did do a splendid job of describing the players, and if you look at the Sam Gagne bio. It's spot on these 4 years later, exactly what he was. And Blue Bullet does a great job. By the way, the gentleman we had on last week, Speeds, his blog is called The Hockey Symposium, and he has his early top 30 up as of Thursday afternoon evening, and it's very similar. I think he's got Barchi in his top 10 instead of Siemens, but everything else is pretty similar to the top 10 we just heard from Blue Bullet. So if you're interested, check that out. It's hockeysymposium.blogspot.com, and that's Speed's early 2011 top 30 that he's got up there right now. Ian Walker from the Vancouver Sun is up next.